Welcome to the Spotscasters. Yeah, you heard me. Sportscasting, podcasting, Spotscasters. I'm Andy Samuelson from KUSports.com, joined live today by Kevin Romery.
Yes!
And the LJ World Sports editor, Tom Keegan. This is the inaugural Spotscasters, and we're just going to throw a couple ideas around the horn. Let's start out with KU basketball's exhibition win last night. What do you guys think?
Good.
Well, first of all, it's Spodcaster, since it's only one Spodcast. We are three Spodcasters. Sports, podcasting, Spodcasters.
People, it may be one show, too, so you might want to keep it singular if it's terrible.
All world Spodcasters. I'll tell you what I thought of the game last night. First of all, of course, Fort Hays State is horrendous. They're Division II.
They're not horrendous.
So let's just move beyond that, okay? Yeah, they're good for a Division II team. Compared to what the Jayhawks are going to be playing against, they're horrendous. But so move on from that. I hate it when people try to diminish what guys like Brandon Rush did last night, what guys like CJ Giles showed last night, what Sasha Khan showed last night. No, it's not diminished because of the competition, because you can look at them and you can project certain things. And I don't know about you, Romery, I thought Brandon Rush was terrific last night.
Guy was fantastic. He did several things that I didn't necessarily know that he was capable of doing. He kind of reminds me, and I hate to throw this on people, because you don't want to say this about guys early, but he reminds me a little bit of Paul Pierce. When Paul was here, he was the only guy that Roy ever said, when things weren't going right, I'd look at the court, and I'd say, Paul, just take it. Everybody else, get out of the way and let him go. Brandon Rush has that kind of ability. He can shoot off the dribble. He can create his own shot. He can get to the rim, and he can stop and pull up. And miraculously, I think he showed us all of that last night.
He did.
And I didn't expect to see all of that last night.
And now, he played hard. He played good defense. He's going to get better defensively.
10 rebounds. That was the shocker to me.
7 offensive rebounds. And, you know, born scorers, natural scorers, are going to be good offensive rebounders because they love to shoot the ball.
You grab the ball, you don't have to have anybody give it to you. You can turn around and shoot anytime you want.
There you go. I thought he was terrific, and I thought that you made a good point that he showed us everything, every different way. And also, Self made a great point after the game. He said he's one of those scorers who doesn't hog the ball. It all comes within the flow. Guys like playing with him already. You could see that. And that's not what you would have thought when you heard Brandon Rush and the image and the AAU and the 8 million high schools and all that. No, this kid is a natural basketball player. He's a team player, and guys play better when he's on the floor.
When I first heard that he was thinking about the NBA, I thought it was a big joke. I thought, give me a break. This guy cannot go to the NBA. And I know how the NBA operates now. You don't draft people that are ready to play out of high school. You just draft them, and you're hoping in 3 or 4 years you got LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. But I can see what scouts see when they're watching Brandon Rush play. I understand now. Now, certainly he's not ready for the NBA.
No.
Not at all. But
it won't be at the end of the year.
And won't be at the end of this year. But in 2 or 3 years, I can see where, if you're drafted late in the first round, maybe you take a chance. Or maybe you would have last year.
Right. And he's an unselfish player. And you can tell he enjoys playing the game. He really does. He gets a kick out of it. And I would guess he's a lot better in games than he is in practice, although he's trying real hard in practice. I went to one practice that we were allowed to go to, but the lights make certain guys better, and this guy has that confidence where the bright lights and the big crowd are going to bring out the best in a guy like Brandon Rush.
And wait till he gets comfortable. He admitted last night, he said, I was scared. He said, didn't say he was nervous. He said he was scared when he ran through the tunnel and saw the bright lights on in the fog.
Funny and what was the term he used for not butterflies? He used some term, I'd never heard the term before.
Bubble guts.
Bubble guts.
BGs.
Yes. BGs.
Not familiar with that.
Is that a term from Wichita, Andy? Is that why you knew that term?
Sandman rolls with that, right?
Sometimes that term has been tossed around the tall a couple times.
I'm nervous.
How about the other freshmen, guys?
Well, the other freshman, Julian Wright, looked totally lost initially. He looked like he didn't know whether he was a point guard or a power forward or a point center or what he was. He was totally lost, but he has good energy, real long player. That's a new term now. It used to be tall, but it's a good term because you don't have to say tall with long arms. You say long, and people know what you mean. But he's very long and athletic. He's not ready right now. I'd say he's the least ready of the three, although defensively, Micah Downs is not ready at all. The two worst players that Micah Downs will ever play against this year, he will ever guard, hit threes over. So that's not good. But Micah Downs, man, if they can ever get to the point where Rush is a good enough defender and Mike is a better defender than he is now, where those two play together, forget about it. Because Rush can then just attack the basket and on the perimeter, floating with him, almost shadowing him on the perimeter, could be Micah. And Rush will always know where he is and always know he can kick to him. And this guy's a seriously good shooter.
Well, both Julian and Mike are just typical freshmen. You look at them and you think, man, that looks kind of like CJ did last year. Got no weight. They need some meat on their bones, number one, to play defense and mix it up inside. I mean, these are taller guys that can play guard, but they're going to get pushed around. Just even like guys like Brandon Rush, who has quite a bit of a weight advantage on those guys. But I agree with you. Mike is going to be a great shooter. Right away, they're going to be able to use that. Julian's not such a great shooter. I think we saw that last night. Yeah. He needs to work on that part of his game. He's just going to be one of those guys that has typical games where you don't notice him. He has 7 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. I think that's what we're going to get from Julian early. Mike is going to have a couple of huge games. He's going to come in and just shoot lights out, hit 3 or 4 threes at times, and score 15 or 20.
And have 2 the next night.
And then have 2 the next night and disappear and go 1 for 7, not be able to get his shot off. Mario's going to be fantastic. He really impressed me last night just running the team. Came out a little nervous, threw his first alley-oop pass off the top of the backboard, and I think folks in Lawrence are going to have to understand that that's hard to do. Aaron Miles made it look really easy for 4 years, but that's not an easy thing to do. He'll settle down. He'll be fine. But last night he showed me that he can hit the outside shot, and that's something, and you know this, point guards in Lawrence have not been able to hit shots in a long time around here. Mario is going
to
be different.
Well, Jacques Vaughn, how many shots did he miss to start his NBA career?
Well, a lot. And he had like with that 0 for 20 or something. ESPN did that great piece.
Aaron Miles, not a shooter by any stretch.
He was better last year. Shot 50% from 3-point land, but you weren't scared of him. Yeah. Mario's going to scare people.
And speaking of 50% from 3-point land, in the Journal World this year, I'm going to introduce a stat that my brother came up with years ago. And finally, the official stat keepers came up with this. But they don't. It's not out there. Very few people know about it. It's called adjusted field goal percentage. Now, Andy and Romery, if you have a guy who shoots 2 for 6 from 3-point land, what is his field goal percentage?
That's 6 points. That's 33%.
But he gets 6 points, right?
He gets 6 points.
If he goes 3 for 6 from 2-point land, it's 6 points. And what's his percentage?
That's 50%.
50 and 33. No, you've got to assign different value for a 3-point field goal and a 2-point field goal. It's called adjusted field goal percentage. You get 1.5 credits for every 3-point field goal and 1 credit for every 2-point field goal. So, in other words, both of those guys would have an adjusted field goal percentage of 50%.
I didn't know you were a mathematician. I can't
Absolutely.
Wait to see this.
I can pretty much do it all except exercise and eat foods that are good for you.
And crossover.
No, I have a mean crossover. Yes, absolutely. The problem is when Brandon Rush does his crossover, the defender breaks his ankle. When I do my crossover, I break my ankle.
That works then perfect.
Well, I hope your brother had a patent on that.
No, he didn't. He should have. Buffalo George.
Obviously, last night the sophomores were maybe equally impressive as the freshmen, if not more, with Sasha Collin having a career night.
Well, he's a big, and the opponent last night was very small, so the big guys in these games should always score a lot of points. I don't know if Sasha will ever score 23, 24 points again like he did last night, but what I did like that was different than last year. Last year, he'd catch the ball in the post and look around. He'd take his time, look at your watch. Things were ticking. He wasn't making anything happen. He didn't go to the bucket. He didn't look to score. Last night, I watched some of the highlights today. There was no hesitation. He didn't think about kicking it back out. He wasn't looking for anybody else. He caught it. He turned, and he went to the rim. And as you guys saw several occasions, you don't want to get in between the rim and Sasha when he's going that direction. He's 250. As Greg Gurley said last night when we were on the air, he said, there's a couple of 250s. He said, there's the Greg Gurley 250. That's at 6'6", older guy. You don't want that 250. And then there's the Sasha Khan 250, and that is rock solid.
What I wouldn't do to weigh 250. That's in my review here. But, you know, Sasha has the power. He has the athleticism. I question his hands big time. I don't like his hands. But Self likes the two of them playing together. I could see why, because they're so different. Because you talked about Sasha caught it, and he dunked it. Well, Giles caught it, he turned, and he shot the jumper with confidence. And I didn't see that much last year when I'm watching the Jayhawks on TV. He just looked like you said with Khan. He's deciding, what do I do now? And Giles was kind of had a little bit of that. He hasn't played a lot of basketball, CJ Giles. And man, is he a major talent.
And he showed us a 15-footer last night.
Big time.
I don't think we saw that much at all last year. But I think the biggest difference is the seniors are gone. Younger guys last year, they just didn't want to screw up the seniors' game. They didn't want to go in there and take shots that either Wayne, Keith, or Aaron should have been taking. This year, Shots are out there. Somebody's got to take them. I mean, all these guys in high school took 25 shots a game. They're used to putting it up. Last year was weird when they weren't shooting. They're ready to chuck it back up there.
Except CJ in high school didn't shoot a lot because he was with other talented players. Nate Robinson, who's in the NBA with the Knicks now. He was with Rod Stewart and Lod Stewart. Does Lodrick go by Lod?
I don't know. That's this interesting.
Is podcasters.
Yeah. This is
Pod, Lod, Rod.
Lod and Ron. It's your show. You can do what you want.
It's our show. Kevin Romery of Channel 6. Andy Samuelson of KUSports.com. And I'm Tom Keegan of the Lawrence Journal World, sports editor since August 15th. Only seems like I've been here 10 years.
Already?
So many thrills packed into that 3 months.
You've been here for some good stuff already.
There's always good stuff in a great college town like this. There is. I mean,
I had to wait so long for a KU win over Nebraska, and you just walk in the door and get it first game.
It was nothing. But don't forget, Woodling walked in the door and got a win over Nebraska yeah. 2 weeks into his tenure here, and then he went 0-36 after that. So I hope it's not a bad omen.
Around 2043, it's going to happen again.
Better happen before that.
Speaking of Con, obviously, he probably his athleticism running the floor. But he might be a pretty good tight end. Maybe the Jayhawks can get him out there this weekend. Talk about going down to Austin and their task at hand there with the number
two
team.
Well, I prefer my tight ends catch the ball and not drop it. Sasha drops it every now and then. But maybe a good defensive end come in with those long arms.
Yeah, he'd bat down some passes.
Yeah, he would.
For sure.
He would. You know, last night around dinner time, you walking on Mass Street, you could hear the Texas fight song playing and the crowd noise piped in. The Jayhawks practicing, trying to recreate the environment they'll have at Darrell Royal Stadium. I have only been there to cover practice for the Texas Longhorns back in 1986 when they were in the Freedom Bowl. And I went there.
Those are the Akers days?
Fred Akers. What a dry guy he was. Ooh.
Rough.
But
I'm glad I didn't cover that team.
I'm looking forward to going to a game there. Romer, you've been to games there. Andy, you've been to games
Actually,
there?
Actually, I haven't. I haven't been to a game there.
You're not a Texas native, aren't you?
I know. I didn't grow up a Texas fan, though. I grew up in Dallas. I was an SMU fan. Pony Express, man. Love it or leave it. Eric Dickerson, Craig James.
Yeah,
Lance
McElhinney. That wasn't bad.
They were good. They were whipping up on UT back then.
They were, I bet.
That's why Fred Akers lost his job.
Fred Akers lost his job because he was a boring guy, and boring guys don't recruit well. Lively guys, funny guys with personality like Bill Self recruit well. And, man, Gino, what do you think of his recruiting? I think he's upgraded from Terry Allen, certainly, hasn't he?
A lot better players. And the one thing that Coach Mangino can do that Terry Allen could never do was evaluate Division I talent. Terry came from a smaller school setting. He brought in some nice players, but I think he kind of had the mentality of, I can't get these top guys, so I'll settle for these guys, and I'll make my program really solid with them. And that worked at Northern Iowa. It doesn't work in the Big 12. You have to get certain upper echelon guys. Coach Mangino, when he got here, he knew that. And he knew what type of program and systems as far as working out and things you had to institute into your program to get those players ready to play if you couldn't get the very tip-top guys. And Terry Allen, nicest guy. Maybe the nicest coach. Andy, you got to talk to him. Maybe the nicest coach I ever got to talk to. I'd go to practice. And I'd be one-man banding, have the camera on my shoulder, be shooting it. It was a non-talking day for interviews. And he would stop and say, hey, Kevin, you need anything? I got a minute or two if you want a quick interview. And he'd stop and interview me.
That doesn't happen anywhere.
Now, on the other side, you got to win games. Stick around. He got an extra year because he was a nice guy. Didn't work out. And I'm sure he's better off where he is now. But I think Coach Mangino does a better job of identifying that talent up front and at least finding guys that, even if they're not going to make a great quarterback or a great wide receiver or at some position, they can play somewhere in Division I.
And he's got a good one if he is able to keep the verbal commitment, which in football is a lot shakier than it is in basketball, of course. But the running back from Salina, Sharp.
They're still going.
Yeah. He's been amazing.
He's been incredible. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a running back at KU, but he's one of those guys that's a big-time athlete. He's from the state of Kansas.
He's little, right?
To Kansas, you got to be able to use him, right?
Yeah, and why wouldn't he be a running back? Too small?
Too bad, too small. I don't know about his speed. He's playing out in West Kansas, which is a knock against a lot of guys. Now, that doesn't mean he can't play. We'll
find
out when he gets
here. Same high school Terrence Newman was at.
This is true. And Terrence Newman, though, was a cornerback, which is a little bit different. But he was one of the fastest guys out there in the Big 12 at the time. Right. But, you know, We'll see. I'm not exactly sold on what position he'll play when he gets. But on the flip side, I haven't seen him play either. So
now Terrence Newman committed to KU and then changed his mind and was stolen by Bill Snyder at K-State. Correct?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Is that right?
Also, Sharp just broke the Kansas touchdown record last week over D'Angelo Evans. Pretty close to the national mark.
But he scored six more? I think they scored 60, didn't they, in the first round of the playoffs or something ridiculous?
I believe he had like 412 yards on like 12 carries or something ridiculous. He's been doing that all year.
Sounds like Darren Sproles numbers. I remember those days at Olathe North.
Five A's, pretty good class.
It's cool how, you know, in football, you recruit the athlete and then you try to find a position for him. And, Romer, we were talking the other day, and you made a good point that this weekend you may see Charles Gordon a lot at cornerback.
He didn't catch a ball last week.
Yeah, and so naturally, you know, I stole that from my column without crediting you.
That's okay. It's not the first
time. It's called convergence, baby.
It's called convergence. As long as the checks keep coming, who cares? But, yeah, Charles didn't make a catch last year. Offense seemed to do just fine with that in there. Last week, yeah. Well, not last year. But
last year he made one, and there was a little penalty.
Yeah, there was. And that's been a big topic this week. Vince Young, we obviously all saw it. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that Mack Brown is panicking here when he's got to find a reason to fire up his team when they...
Mangino agrees with you.
Coming off as... Yeah, we were talking about it before we went to the Mangino press conference. Coming off a 62-point victory against Baylor, you're 34-point favorites against KU.
34?
That's a ridiculous
number.
Gotta
be kidding.
That is a ridiculous number. I'd be surprised if anyone in the country at this point, although Colorado did, is going to score 34 points against this defense unless the offense just turns it over so many times that they're just giving away points.
And with the Jayhawks finding Jason Swanson and the running game, more importantly, there's no indication that they're going to throw the football away like they did when Brian Luke and Adam Barman were in there. And I like Brian Locke, great guy, but he wasn't even put in positions, I don't think, to succeed. They came out and threw the football almost every down when he was in there. Same thing with Swanson. At Colorado game, he threw it 50 times.
Right.
Last 2 weeks, both victories didn't even come close to throwing it 50 times. You can see the difference.
Right. And I think the blocking has been better because, in part because Swanson is just a more decisive guy. And when you're indecisive like Luke and Berman, that guy, that receiver who was open is covered. That block that was being held has been lost. And then we've got that where they're pass protecting better because he's more decisive, so they're feeling better about themselves, and they're running the ball more. And you talk to any offensive lineman, and they'll tell you, if you're running a lot, we get into a rhythm. We like that. We like run blocking. It's a more aggressive thing, and we play better. So I agree with you, Romery, that they should continue to run the football, whether it's with Clark Green, John Cornish, or a combination.
And the Texas rush defense hasn't been spectacular this season. Not that the Jayhawks have an overwhelming rushing attack, but it is good enough to keep the football, run a few minutes off the clock, keep Vince Young off the field, and give that defense some rest, which is option number one.
Who are we kidding? They're getting crushed.
Yeah. 58-6.
When you talked about the last time down there, it was a 59-0 Texas victory under interim coach Tom Hayes.
Ouch! What?
If you thought that Oklahoma game was something, that was pretty much the mirror image.
Oh, man, 59-0.
It wasn't that close.
All right, well, that'll do it for us on this
inaugural
Spodcasters.
You're kidding me.
Spodcasters.
Joined by Kevin Romery, Channel 6.
It was real. When keeping it real goes
Tom
wrong.
Tom Keegan, the Lawrence Journal World's sports editor.
It was fun. It was real.
Are we going to do this again?
And yours truly, yeah. We'll
Is
be
anybody
here
else
week.
Listening? Do we have any idea to find out how many of you are out there listening? If you do listen to this, send us an email. If not, this may be the last time you ever hear us.
All right, thanks a lot. I'm Andy Samuelson with KUSports.com, and we'll see you next week.